When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast where everybody knows you're gay and you're always glad you came.
Spill came.
C-U-M-E?
I do that song last every time I do piano bar. No.
I thought you did like the everyone go away.
A closing
you
time?
Don't have to go home, but no. Fuck off no, here.
Not. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, I'm so excited.
I guess. I mean, yes, you are.
We're going to talk about Star Trek.
Yeah. Cool. Wait, no. We're going to talk about sci-fi. Well, you're going to...
I heard you say the same thing.
I almost... No,
we're going to talk about science fiction.
I almost did a Star Trek...
You should have known better segment. Than to even
well,
think
knew,
about
I
it.
Knew you were... But mine was going to be interesting.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's fair.
But first... Oh, I wanted to let you know I watched that Gay Jesus movie.
Oh, how was the Gay Jesus movie?
It was really good. It was really funny. It's in another language, which...
Did you use subtitles or dubbed?
Subtitles.
Okay.
The dubbed was not an option.
Okay.
But I pretend like I chose to listen to it in another language
sure.
and read.
Yeah. What other language? You know the Portuguese?
I think it was Portuguese.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, great.
Because I like vaguely, I occasionally understood things.
Yeah.
And
gayish. You occasionally understand things.
It was really funny. I mean, sure, I would have found it even funnier if I knew anything about the Bible. They did have one trope, I don't want to give anything away, where there was like the main character was the mask one and the boyfriend was the femme one. But overall, really cool. And someone sent us a message. Shit, I didn't write down their Twitter thing. And was like, a lot of even gay people in Brazil weren't like a huge fans of that, so like there were even like mixed opinions in Brazil.
Yeah, but is that the Donald Trump people are saying thing? Like, who are these people?
Oh, well, I mean, he said his friends.
Oh, okay.
So
that's fair.
I don't know, people just say it. Yeah. I just heard from people. Like, no, yeah, this I think was his actual friends. I it was not full movie length. It was like 45 minutes, which makes it a little bit easier, more accessible in my mind. I highly suggest you watch it, especially if you know things about religion.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. A quick programming note.
Oh.
Because a
that
couple
sounds
of,
so official.
I know. Because people have asked, the app makeover is still in progress, / I started it last night.
Because I made you.
Because you made me. But it is going to happen. It's just not on the, like, I think people assumed it would be, like, already done, and here it
well,
all
they,
is.
They did say, like, 2 weeks. We need 2 weeks, but that... is there's a presumption of like you have to do stuff to make it happen.
Yes, 2 weeks starting from
tomorrow.
Someday.
I don't know.
But that 2 week clock has not happened yet, so put your patience pants on, kids.
Which is way better than my lose your shit shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Is that it?
Well, yeah. Goodbye, everyone. This has been
Gayish. Is it time for the news?
Yeah.
Great.
Wait,
oh, what, Dan?
Oh, I was gonna ask if you when you want corrections or.
Oh, that's right, corrections about lady balls. Let's hear it.
Yeah, go for it.
So in our last episode, ovaries, there was some conversation about hysterectomies and the.
Dan, it's hysterectomies.
Wow. I won't even go into the etymology of
God,
hysterectomies and hysteria. And
because of the lunar cycle and that you have your period once a month, it's all a whole big thing. Like,
women are werewolves? That's rude, Mike. That's so rude of you to say.
No, they attract werewolves when they're on their period, Kyle.
Got it. Teen Wolf, coming soon.
Wow. So the implication was made that a hysterectomy is generally the removal of both the uterus and the ovaries, and the fallopian tubes in between. It's not entirely the full picture. Generally, they would try to leave the ovaries in the body because they're your, you know, sex hormone producing things. They're part of the, an integral part of the endocrine system. You don't want to take those out unless you have to. And they do have connective tissue to other parts of the body. They're not just free floating on the fallopian tubes. So a total hysterectomy is just the removal of the uterus. If you remove also one or both of the ovaries, that's a oophorectomy. If you remove the fallopian tube in addition, which generally is the case, if you're removing both the uterus and the, you're going to take the, not leave the fallopian tube just hanging out there useless, that's a salpingo-oophorectomy. And then
Pinga?
Salpingo? Salpingo!
And that can be just what, like, you, they may then leave just an ovary and a fallopian tube. Another reason to leave the ovaries is you can still harvest eggs from the ovaries later, and then you could have a surrogate, you know, you could do other forms of fertilization. And then the what I think was being discussed maybe was a radical hysterectomy, and that's generally for dealing with something like cancer, where you have to remove enough tissue to make sure that you've got all the cancer.
No, it's not like an 80s radical.
No, it's not a radical feminist hysterectomy. It's just a radical hysterectomy. In that case, they remove the uterus, the fallopian tubes, both ovaries, the cervix, a portion of the vagina, and surrounding tissues. They, like, everything's gone, and you get a very short vagina, I guess. I don't know.
I think Robin called that the kitchen sink surgery.
Yes.
Kitchen
yes. Sink.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the radical one. So... just to make sure that's clear to all our 85% male listeners.
I mean, I really think dudes need to know more about women's bodies, myself included. Like, we don't know about them and talk about them. So.
Especially the straight ones. Get it together.
Yeah, you're inside there, so you should know what you're putting your dick into.
Mm-hmm. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can, yeah, that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard, and I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good, but also I enjoyed the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. Okay.
Okay, news.
News. Wait, okay, hold on. I'm going to take you on a musical journey. Oh. Are you ready for this?
Are we playing the Kesh album now?
Yes.
Or are we doing that later?
Yes.
Okay.
She is now the news theme. Sorry, kids. You have to listen to 45 minutes of Kesh every episode.
Okay, let's go on this journey.
Now, let's go on this journey together. If you want to just play the end result, this could be a shrinkage, or you can leave this all in here.
Oh, okay.
But the first thing for the news theme, a very good suggestion came in from Big Fatty, and I had considered something like it, which is just that the news theme should be this. This is the part where Mike reads Kyle the news. I thought that was a little bit too on the nose.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know.
You might start skipping ahead because you think ads are coming.
Yeah. Could be better. So I started looking for inspiration. It's time for the news. News.
You wrote a really good jingle. Isn't there. That's so impressive.
John Williams is my uncle.
Wait.
John Williams wrote that song.
He's not your uncle, though.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, God, no. Well, okay. So then I thought, okay, well, maybe that's a good place to start, but I wanted something funkier, something a little more international. You know?
Wow, we are international.
News. 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 It's the BBC news song.
See, oh, I didn't know that.
All of our...
like a Swedish punk band. No,
that's the BBC news song.
Oh, okay.
I have to say your lyrical skills are right up there with Taylor Swift.
Oh, get ready. Yeah. Oh, it's going to get better. Okay, so then I decided to go like a different tack. News, 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 news. It's time to read the news, 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 news. Hate it, take a snooze, 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 snooze. It's sad, so get a noose, snooze, 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 snooze. Yeah.
Wait, if it's not going to be that, I'm going to be very disappointed. Where do you go? How do you top that?
How do you top that?
Wink.
Wink. Yeah, there's probably copyright issues with that.
No, right? It's a parody.
Well, so then I started playing with pieces of your brilliance.
Oh, boy.
News. 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 Here's the news. Don't get the blues, it's new.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
I hate it.
Oh, well.
I'm not as good as Rihanna.
I'm going to keep working on it. I'm going to tighten it up.
Wink, okay.
Wink.
News? News are news, here's the news. 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 Don't get the blues, it's the news.
That's the new theme song.
Oh, God, are you serious? I have to personally edit that into our episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I need a shorter version of that, obviously, I think I'm onto something.
Oh, okay.
Now it's really time for the news. Are you ready?
Yeah. I want to be past the part where I have to listen to my... I've gotten so used to hearing my voice. I'm cool with my voice. I know what it sounds like. But this, I wasn't ready for.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Maybe we'll make the Rihanna theme a ringtone.
Oh, except that'd be weird if your phone was like, news. It's like, the news is you're getting a phone call.
Oh, God. Okay, so, news the first.
Yeah.
So, on the 27th of March last year, Faisal Alizada, 23, was driving along and saw a dude wearing Lycra bike pants. He was on a bicycle. And he said, "Oi, gay boy," and spit all over this man who was riding this bike. So I'll just fast forward. The police were able to get some of the saliva off of his pants and DNA test it and found the dude and charged him based on his DNA that was in his spit that he spat.
Oh, nice.
Yep. District Judge Samuel Guzzi convicted him of assault by spitting, telling him, quote, "Spitting at anybody is abhorrent, and it makes it much more serious by the homophobic nature of the assault."
Where was this located?
England. I believe it was London.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the Westminster Magistrates Court.
Yeah, we don't have shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, we wouldn't care about homophobia enough to track somebody.
No, yeah. That should be good. It's... That sucks. Homophobia, bad. It's no good. Also, it's interesting that different contexts, the same thing. If someone spit on me, I might, like, in a different context, it'd be hot.
Like, you want to recreate this as a scene
in the bedroom? Like a straight dude, like, you bag it and then spits on me.
Yeah, while you're on a stationary bike wearing like
shorts. Weird specific fetish?
Yep, I get that. News the second. Billy Porter was on Sesame Street.
He was?
Wearing his tuxedo dress.
Tuxedo dress? Is it the one he wore something?
Yes. At the Academy Awards last year, he wore a tuxedo gown, and he wore it on Sesame Street. And Sesame Street shared photos of the Pose star on Facebook and Twitter on the show's set. This is from Pink News. Quote, "Billy Porter bringing those fierce vibes to Sesame Street," they posted, along a flame emoji and a hashtag about the show's upcoming 51st season. They have not yet confirmed when the LGBT plus icon will appear on the show, so they filmed it. It has not aired yet. So let's see.
I'm waiting for the outrage part.
Well, Billy Porter said, quote, "Y'all talk about iconic," Porter wrote on Twitter. "I was tickled to meet Elmo and the gang at Sesame Street." And Sesame Street wrote on Twitter, "An iconic day with an iconic person," and they thanked Porter for dropping by. Unsurprisingly, a petition with more than 3,000 signatures of outraged parents has appeared on the internet. Conservatives aren't able to handle... I love this sentence. A petition with over 3,000 signatures from conservative parents saying, "How dare you have a dude in a dress on my kid's show?"
Sure.
Quote, "Unfortunately, Pink News was unable to track down the world's smallest violin for the disgruntled conservatives."
I love that.
I think it's really exciting. You know, Sesame Street has been pretty subversive over the years, and done a lot of things to represent oppressed minorities, etc.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool to think that kids growing up would see that and think this is just a normal thing that dudes can do.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep, absolutely.
Billy Porter, he's changing the world.
Changing the world and breaking
the
law. Who run
the world? Billy Porter in a dress.
I don't want to do this story. The Republican Attorney General of Texas is not doing his job. He's refusing to defend against he's taking the bigoted position. So this judge ruled against these people who are pro-gay, and then they sued them, and then it's his job to decide what to do with that case, and he's not going to... He refused to defend the body on behalf of the state. His spokesperson said, quote, "We believe judges retain their right to religious liberty when they take the bench." Anyway, it's great.
I'm so glad you didn't do that story.
I know. The last one, I don't know if I can get through it, because when I was reading it, getting ready for the news today, it made me cry. So, hey, we'll see. So, Elizabeth Warren, at one of the debates, is the CNN Equality Town Hall, Jacob, a 9-year-old trans boy, asked her, quote, "What will you do in your first week as president to make sure that kids like me feel safer in schools? And what do you think schools need to do better to make sure that I don't need to worry about anything but my homework?" So at an event in Cedar Rapids this week, Warren was asked about her pick for Secretary of Education because Betsy DeVos is such a cunt. Quote, "For my Secretary of Education, number one, it has to be someone who has taught in a public school. Number two, a young trans person asked me about a welcoming community. I'm going to have a Secretary of Education that this young trans person interviews on my behalf. And only if this person believes that our Secretary or Education nominee is absolutely committed to creating a welcoming environment, a safe environment, and a full educational curriculum for everyone, will that person actually be advanced to be Secretary of Education." I'm sure she didn't mean it, but she basically said that this like 9-year-old trans kid has to thumbs up her Secretary of Education.
Yeah, yeah. I got chills while you're saying this. I'm convinced that, I mean, we've said this many times, like generations that are younger than ours are way smarter than everyone who's running the political world.
Yep.
Yep. Political tickle.
Political me.
I don't know. Yeah. So that's really cool. That's awesome.
Yep. I think she's great. And she will have my support if she gets the nomination.
As will literally anyone.
As will literally a toaster if it has a D next to its name on the ballot, because I'm that bitch.
Yep.
That's it. That's the news.
Well, you forgot the biggest news story.
Oh, God. What?
Kesha dropped a new album.
Did she now?
Mm-hmm.
I just figured everybody already knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We got it. We got it in the gay bulletin, which, interestingly, is sent via owl.
Oh, my windows are closed.
Oh, that's yeah. That's why there's a dead owl on your window. Well, I want to thank Patreon. Oh, hey, Mike.
Hey, Kyle.
Thank you for the news.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. I would like to thank, in addition to you, I want to thank Patreon members, Jordan Nash. Mike's lips are sealed for once in his life. There's nothing to say. I think now what I'm going to do is just give everyone a cute nickname. So JoJo Nash.
I'm glad that he's donating to us via Patreon now that his friends Crosby and Stills are dead.
Cool. I get that joke.
Old people got it.
Yeah. Sophia 2M.
Is it just two letter M's or is it spelled something?
No, it's the letter number two. Number two is a number. Okay. Number two and then M.
Great. The numeral two, the letter M.
Yeah. This episode brought to you by. and Joshua Van Dyne. V Money. So thank you to our Patreon members. If you want to get bonus episodes, content, get the episode a day early.
Make me happy.
Make Mike happy, which you might, I don't know, you might care about. You can go to patreon.com/kishpodcast. I was going to try to, on the spot, come up with a tagline. A membership in love.
Okay.
Well, maybe a new one next time. Okay. Yeah,
that's a little too nice for our brand.
A membership in fuck off. I don't know.
Okay, no, dial it in the middle.
Okay,
there.
Somewhere.
Somewhere between those two.
Join a membership where we kind of care about you. Should we talk about sci-fi?
Let's talk about science fiction.
Okay. I think I should go first.
Okay.
Because I have something more general, broader than sci-fi, but sci-fi is a part of it.
Okay.
GLAAD does a thing where they monitor the movies that come out from the major studios and indicate how LGBT friendly they are, and especially year over year see how we have progressed in LGBT representation.
The gay Bechdel test.
No, it's not that. It's different. It's just
number of characters, and do they have lines, and are they treated like a freakazoid?
No, it's not even that detailed, which something to keep in mind with the numbers. It's a very low bar where it's like, do they have an LGBT character?
Yeah.
Yes or no. And then they say yes or no for the major films that come out that year, and then give us numbers based on that.
You know who has an LGBT character?
Who?
Us, gayish.
Oh, we have two. We have 100%.
And Dan.
Right here.
Well, we do have two. We also have three. Okay. So, in 2019, of the 7 major studios. There were 110 films. 20 had LGBT characters, which is 18%, which is the second highest percentage after 2016, which in 2016, that's when Moonlight came out. So that was just a gay year, I guess.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, to go down.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been more of a talking point.
No, like, gays love going down.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, it is interesting that...
go ahead.
Especially nowadays, you would think every year would go up and up. But I think there are, like, these phases where all of a sudden... I don't know what other gay movies there were, but, like, you know, a bunch of gay movies get released and we're, like, keen on gays for, like, a year. And then we're like, okay, back to the straights. That was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting tidbit. Disney had no LGBT films.
Duh. Wait, what about Beauty and the Beast? Gaston's friend, Lafitte, whatever his name is. What's his name?
I don't know, but that movie didn't come out last year, so I think that's why Disney didn't have any.
Oh,
he's not saying
did.
Disney in all time has never had a gay character.
Yeah. And maybe it's just because I saw it last year.
they categorized the percentage of films Mike saw had a gay character.
Most of them, really?
I think,
yeah.
Most of your movies would have a gay character?
Yeah, well,
Okay. So now we get into the part where we don't have exact sci-fi numbers. They categorize the different, they say, like, for comedy, for drama, and for genre films, which genre includes action, sci-fi, and fantasy slash horror.
Okay.
And family and documentary. So those are the categories they categorize. Comedy, year after year, tends to be the highest percentage of LGBT characters.
Sure.
Which I didn't look at the titles. Part of it is, like, it's easy to throw a gay character in a comedy to, like, be the comic relief.
Yep.
I don't know if that is the case, but that was my first, like,
thought. Yeah, sure. Sure, makes sense.
Drama, they're always pulling for the, like, tear jerkers and eye squeezers and, you know, that shit. So, you know, we'll just roll with that. Nope.
Eye squeezers?
Have to, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, when you're crying and your eyes squeeze shut. So for comedy, that was 35% of the comedy movies. For drama, that was 27% of the drama movies. For genre, there are 13% of them had an LGBT character. There were 0 for family, 0 for documentary. Then again, there's only 1 documentary film. So, like, I think last year was, like, 1 out of 2. So it was, like, 50%.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting.
And it was about hate crimes.
Yeah, probably. it's really interesting to me. Sci-fi seems like it would be such a fertile ground for telling LGBT stories, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. It doesn't, like, sci-fi is not, you know, giving us a lot of these numbers that can, that would contribute to a higher percentage. Like, 13% is really low compared to, you know, a quarter, a third. I just don't understand what, and, like, things I read about sci-fi did seem to say that, like, queer representation was lacking. And it's just so weird to me. It doesn't make sense when this area seems like it'd be a great place to tell LGBT stories.
Yeah, for sure. And it is.
But is it? I mean, but they're not doing it.
I didn't do a whole segment about this, but I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah,
this
sure.
is, like, the time to.
Yeah, do it.
I think gay people like sci-fi a whole bunch because, like, once you start talking about non-humans, it opens the door for all kinds of non-conforming, there's an openness that you have to enjoy science fiction to things different than yourself.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Science fiction should be more gay than other genres and definitely more gay than it is.
Yeah.
But do you think gay people like science fiction? Because I think that there are a lot of people who pretend that they don't and then they love it.
Do you really think people are, like, facading as non-science fiction people?
Yeah, I could just imagine some, like, pack of twinks not, like, liking it.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Ew. And yeah. then, like, secretly shame watching with popcorn in their bed. Old episodes of Doctor Who or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I think the idea would be, I think there are a lot of, like, same as the gamer, like, category. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, a small contingent of gays that are into that. I think there's something about it. I think you're right. Like, you know, growing up LGBT, you kind of have your own fantasy world where you get to exist and be cool. So this is similar to that, it takes you into a fantasy world where you don't have to worry about your own problems and struggles. You get to, which, I mean, that's part of why I love TV, because I get to pause my feelings, thoughts, all the shitty things that are going on, and just be absorbed in these stories. And
yeah,
I think that's a,
yeah,
like that's a benefit of sci-fi. You get to get immersed in a world.
Do you remember the Calgon commercials?
Nope.
Oh. Klingon, take me away.
Okay.
You want me to go next?
Yeah.
Okay. I love Star Trek.
Okay. That was a good segment. My turn. Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about, like, you're soup sci-fi nerd. I dabble. Like, I like, I'm not opposed to it. I've read sci-fi things that I like. I've watched sci-fi movies that I like, but it's not like a big part of my life, or I don't like seek them out actively. So
yeah, like sci-fi and fantasy, I have like hordes of people on my giant couch to watch my massive TV for science fiction.
Yeah.
And fantasy. Picard is what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Before that it was Star Trek Discovery, Game of Thrones for 7 years. Like these are all like totally my jam.
Okay, but that leads me to, I've been like trying to piece this out, what is science fiction versus fantasy? Because I wouldn't think Game of Thrones is not sci-fi.
Yeah, it's not, it's fantasy.
So like, what's the, how do you meet the qualification for being sci-fi?
It has to be futuristic or future adjacent, or if it's present day, then something extraterrestrial.
I mean, but, like, couldn't you tell a story of a fictional past where there's science-y things happening?
By the way, that's not a definition. I just, like, I'm just yeah. saying shit off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spitballing, which is my favorite sex act.
Fantasy is like, usually, like, medieval. There's wizards and monsters and dragons and magic and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
I just assumed you were going to say, what is sci-fi? Let's do a definition. I'm surprised.
No.
Wow. Okay.
It's like porn. I know it when I see it.
I know it when I'm inside of it. Okay. Okay. You can keep talking.
Yeah. So Star Trek has had a lot of criticism over the years. The entire universe has, for a lack of representation for LGBT people. So much so that it was a pretty big talking point when Star Trek Discovery came out and had a gay couple that were characters, recurring characters, main cast characters on the show. And it's interesting, though, because there's always been this, like, people, you can tell people working from the inside that at least have queer sensibilities about things, because mm-hmm. there are lots of stories that sort of like snuck through the goalie or whatever.
When straight people get pregnant, yeah. Snuck through the goalie?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. My brain today, I don't know what's up. So I was going to talk about three episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation, which is what I grew up with, and it's the oldest of the series that isn't from the 60s. And the queer things that are there and in them, if you looked for them.
Okay.
And I certainly did. I noticed as a tween and teen.
Yeah.
The oldest one is called The Outcast, and it's from season 5. It aired on March 16th of 1992. The Enterprise goes to this planet, and they go down to the planet on like an away mission, and I don't even remember like what the scenario was, but this is a species that has no gender, and their system is built around genderlessness, and they sort of hint at how they procreate, that they inseminate husks, which I don't know what that means, but anyway, Commander Riker falls in love with one of them. Soren. Her name is Soren. Also, she says, I have a gender, I am female. And then Riker finds out that not only is she female and feels like an outcast in her own genderless society, but that they plan to forcibly change her gender. That they, like, what's the way to say it? Not gender confirmation surgery, but gender force you to fucking do it surgery?
Anti-confirmation? Deformation surgery?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So it's just the things that they're playing with there, right? Like the idea that your gender could be something outside the norm, mm-hmm. that society would punish you for that, or surgically alter you against your will without your consent for that. And then for a human male character, Commander Riker, to fall in love with someone who is at least gender nonconforming was pretty interesting. Now, some background to that episode. Sorry, we can talk about the premise of the episode more.
I think one thing that I see is, and we've talked about this before, is that there are often ways that they try to get around the, like, either gay part or like try to justify it. Like, well, this person was an alien, or like, I think it was like Hulk, where it's like, but this person used to be a male or something. Like,
yeah,
they try to make it into a kind of make it into a way that passes, which this is interesting because you're almost describing a straight love story. Like, yep, she's a female, he's a male, and they fall in love, and you could, I mean, I get the like idea that gender, like the they're reversing it so they can talk about the norm of genderless versus one person that's female, but at the same time it's like, well, I'm a female, and it's just like a story about a person who is a female.
Yeah, sure. sure.
Like, good for you.
For 1992,
sure,
to have
sure
a trans or trans adjacent character is pretty subversive.
Yeah,
in my opinion. The other thing, I read some production notes about the episode. In the original screenplay, Soren was male and asserted his maleness, and Commander Riker made out with him anyway. And that obviously had to change in 1992 TV world.
Yeah.
The end of that episode is super sad because they put together a rescue mission and they beam down and they find her and the surgery has already been performed. And she's like, no, I have no gender now and I'm not down, not into it.
Mm. Yeah. And that's another thing. Like, a lot of them end with something sad. And again, like I watched and read stuff about like sci-fi, queer sci-fi tropes, and yeah, that's a downside of a lot of them, is ends with something sad, and after one episode, then things just go back to normal and it doesn't pick up again.
Yeah.
So awesome things about that, and that's progressive for the time, but I think it's still important to take a look at what it lacked.
Yep.
To learn from that.
Yep. Yep. That episode sticks out to me a lot.
Did that, when you were watching it, did that jump out at you? Like,
it was very confusing. Yeah.
What? How so?
I mean, I think for obvious reasons, sort of identified with this character feeling like an outcast. I mean, it's the title of the episode, and just that everybody else is on some level that I am not, and I don't get it. Mm. That's a major theme in, I think, every gay person's life, when they're in the closet anyway.
And that seems like a lot of sci-fi movies is like, there's one person that doesn't fit in for whatever reason and has to break free and has to, you know, find their own way, which I think is another reason that gays would like sci-fi.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. But then it also sucks, right? Like, the way it ended sucked.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you don't get to marry a dude and be happy gay forever. Sometimes you marry a redheaded woman instead. And
I'm guessing that's what happened.
No, that's what happened to me.
In real life. She had red hair?
Yeah.
I don't think I actually met her. I never pictured her with red hair.
Oh, we should try to get her on the show.
Nope.
That'd be fun.
Nope.
Her and Trevor at the same time.
Nope.
No? Okay. Wow. Call it X's.
Again.
Yeah. Just, she took a chance. She asserted her femininity. And
who, Alyssa?
No, sorry. Back to the show. She emotionally dom-topped. Soren, the character in The Outcast, she asserted her femininity. She asserted her sexuality. And ultimately, it didn't work out. Like, society won. Her society won in the end. And I don't know, that's a not so good message for a kid who's watching it, you know, feeling different and feeling helpless in a society that is really very cruel and lacks compassion,
but also probably a fair outcome, like an understandable outcome for the time.
Yep.
Which
science fiction, Star Trek in particular, has a whole bunch of episodes where there's this individual from a society who has some desire to not conform, and they end up losing.
Yeah.
They end up conforming.
The one I was researching that I don't remember the title for was the first, like, lesbian kiss.
Mm.
And it was the species of people who...
We're going to talk about the Trill next.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. But not that episode. The episode you're thinking of is from Deep Space Nine, I believe. And the episode was Rejoined, which was season 4, episode 6.
Oh. Matt Baum, actually, who we've had on the show talking about gamers, he has a Culture Cruise web series on YouTube that talks about this episode specifically, which I really liked. Is really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yep, the Trill are a species that banned totally. Our species in Star Trek, where there is a host and there's a symbiont, and their whole society is built around this idea that they're run by these like worm things that kind of look like the maggot that Geena Davis gave birth to in The Fly. And they are put into these host bodies that are grown for them. It's very problematic from an ethical standpoint. And when they're implanted, they control that body. So that body is them, but it's the mind of this weird worm thing that is inside of them. Mm-hmm. And
I like that you're worried about the ethics of this, like worms. Have you thought about this? Because that seems rude.
Well, because the host bodies have lives before they're implanted with a symbiont. They, like, can talk and, like, have lives. Like, you're enslaving, you're subjugating an entire functioning race of people so that you have these bodies that you can steal and live in. It's very problematic.
Yeah.
What?
I disagree with that framing of the entire premise of Trills and...
Okay, hit me.
It's a great honor to be chosen to be one. They're not being raised specifically like cattle to be hosts. They have their own culture, and not all of the people are chosen to be a host. You have to like study, and you have to be like meet certain criteria of like that your body is going to be strong enough and your mind's going to be strong enough to be able to go through the conjoining with the host.
Yeah.
It's a great honor.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they're presented as protagonists most of the time. If I were going to enslave an entire species and then eat them for meat, I would convince them that it was an honor to do that. Like, the fact that they believe it is an honor to do so, to subjugate themselves, does not make it okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
The Trill are evil and I hate them. But lots of really lots of really great characters, lots of really interesting storylines because of them. And I think that there are serious ethical problems with their society that doesn't exist. This is the beauty of sci-fi. None of this is real.
Well, that's why I'm like, it's interesting that you're like worried about the ethical dilemma, because like that's the entire point of the episode. Like I guess you're supposed to talk about those ethical dilemmas, but.
Yeah. One of the things I'll be talking about in the Patreon segment, actually, it's a similar sort of like, is this person capable of giving consent to be doing the thing that they're doing?
Yeah.
Or is this a travesty? And it sounds like you'll be siding with the very talented Dr. Beverly Crusher.
I heard her.
Crusher. I hardly.
I mean, she does fall in love with a candle. She's not that awesome.
Does she?
Yeah, a ghost candle. She falls in love with a ghost candle.
Oh, because candle wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I just realized when you're talking about that, I really like Rick and Morty, which that's absolutely science fiction. Like Rick is a scientist, I just thought about that because they have episodes that are similar to that, where like things take over and like have host bodies and control them.
I sensed a segue coming.
Okay, are you ready for me to tell you stuff?
I think so, yes.
Okay, well,
hit me.
First,
I'm not going to talk about banging Data, don't even ask. Go ahead.
We almost made it one episode. So close. Well, first, this is not like a full segment, but first, I wanted to...
But first,
I wanted to walk butt first into a recommendation of a... I don't know if it's exactly a sci-fi podcast, but it's at minimum a fantasy podcast. It is called Gay Future.
Okay.
And I personally, like, being someone who's like...
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live sketch, Gays in Space?
No.
Oh, it's so great.
This is going to be an episode full of things people love, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
The sketches actually weren't that great for gay people, but I laughed and I thought that they were funny, but it's problematic. But the whole thing is worth it just to hear Maya Rudolph sing the theme song. Fucking fantastic. Do yourself a favor. YouTube, look at Maya Rudolph singing the theme song to Gays in Space from Saturday Night Live. Continue.
And then after that, check out the Gay Future podcast. So I think it's great for people like me who, you know, I'm interested in a little bit. And if there's a compelling story, I'll listen to it. But it is about a guy in the future. In this future society, everyone is gay.
Great.
And the main character.
So they all die off, just like so, the conservatives
and then
won.
It ended in one generation. They didn't really think that through. It's not working. Why aren't you pregnant? So the main character, though, is heterosexual, and he's struggling with his sexuality. I'm gonna play.
You know, it's really hard to be straight these days.
It's so difficult. It's hilarious. I talk about a lot of things that I'm like, oh, I really like this. I listened to, you know, part of this for the podcast to like research or whatever, and then I mean to, but I don't end up going back to it. This is one that I will absolutely continue listening to. So I'm gonna play a portion of episode one.
Who even are you, man? Just some virgin who's never sucked a dick.
Hey, I suck like so many dicks.
Oh, yeah?
I was just so good at being quiet.
It's like hard. So hard. It's like the densest diamond.
What?
And then it melts in your mouth into soup.
It's very clear to me that you have never sucked a dick.
Then it explodes, and all your teeth fall out. And then a larger, older version of you walks in, pats you on the head, and says, you're sucking a dick. Yes, you are. Kisses you on the forehead and then does all your chores. So yeah, I've sucked several.
You're a freak. And you're now an enemy of Chad and the masks. I'm Chad. These are my masks.
Yes.
Let's go, boys.
Hey, you okay? I'm Mikey, by the way.
Tristan, wow. Where'd you learn how to suck dick like that?
Oh, I died for 3 seconds as a baby in the fire that killed my parents, and that's what I saw.
Cool.
That's fucking fantastic.
It's so funny. It's so well written. It's so well produced. It's an audio drama that it has 6 episodes. They're like 30 minutes each, so like very attainable, very graspable. No, there's a word for this. Very
indigestible.
I don't know.
Assimilatable.
Sure.
Resistance is futile.
Put the ass in assimilate. Okay, so
futile
that's,
or futile?
Ugh, if you want to be douchey, futile. It's like saying naivete.
Okay.
So, what I'm really going to tell you about is Orson Scott Card. Writer.
I know that name.
Yep. Writer of?
Your finger.
I pointed at you for this. I need to give stage cues so people get it. He is not the writer of The Starting Game. He's the writer of
The Starting Ramp. Ender's Game.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know if you really didn't. Ender's Game. Did you read this growing up?
No, I did not. And I remember that Asa Butterfield was the kid that was the kid and is now in Sex Education, which is my favorite show of all time ever. Season 2 just came out a little bit ago.
Oh, you're talking about the movie.
Yeah.
It was originally a book by Orson Scott Card.
Right.
And we read that in school growing up, and it was something that like I actually enjoyed reading.
Wow.
Unlike Peace. What's
War
that
and
one?
Peace?
Yeah, I was like...
Presto Plenia e Nakazania. They would not have you read War and Peace. It's like 1,400 pages. Oh, I didn't even say War and Peace. I said Crime and Punishment, which they do make you read.
Oh, yes. I didn't read that. That was one, you know, when you had to read stuff, we had to show like annotations to prove we read it. And I would sit in study hall with my friend and we would just like flip randomly and highlight shit and write things like theme and like. And
you were a bro.
I really liked that. And I've tried to read it even as an adult several times, but then I get really tired. Badge of Honor. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway. I had to read books. It was annoying. So the book is about, I'm not going to talk too much about the book, but the book is about this kid, Ender, who is a kid. Have we mentioned that he's a kid? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And he has to fight the like cyborgs or whatever. And he's like playing video games almost. And the reveal, this is like, you don't need spoilers for something that's like 30 fucking years old, but it turns out like what he thinks is a practice run is the real thing.
Yeah. Gayish.
This is just a practice episode, right? We'll record the real thing later. Has this been good yet? I don't know. You tell us. I don't want to know. So turns out Orson Scott Card soups homophobes.
That's problematic.
Yeah. So he did a variety of things that I won't go into like all the deets, but he wrote in 1990, wrote an essay in favor of laws against homosexuals. Then again, even homophobes can make progress. It's not a lot of progress, but in 2013, he wrote that since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled those laws unconstitutional, he has no interest in criminalizing homosexual acts. So, like, hey, you made a little.
Great.
You took one step in the right direction. Slightly less shitty.
And that's slightly respectable. Like, well, I lost. Time to get over it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He still, like, thinks we're pedophiles, but, you know, yeah. Go in the right direction. I mean, it's funny because he said that he got criticized in his 1990 essay for both being homophobic, but he also said he got criticized for being too supportive of homosexuality, which, like, this is one of those things where, like, both sides... respecting both sides, you don't have to. Like, right. That's not... I think, especially with the internet, it's so easy to hear all these different viewpoints.
Yeah.
You don't have to respect both sides.
And there's a critical mass at which the other side should, like, be allowed to exist, right? Like, if it's 100-1, mm-hmm. group A and group
climate
B,
change.
And then you bring the one person from group B,
yeah.
and put them against somebody from group A on TV, it looks like they're 50-50,
yeah.
because they are on camera,
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, totally.
But no, one of them's a fucking idiot and needs yeah. to shut his goddamn whore mouth.
Getting so angry at this hypothetical person that you hate. Anyway, but what I really wanted to talk about is, like, this was, I remember really liking this book and then, you know, hearing about Orson Scott Card being shitty. And, you know, we've seen this time and time again. J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. God rest her soul.
People that we love or work that we love, anything Kevin Spacey, anything Bill Cosby, like kids say the darndest things. No, they don't, because you drug them. They can't talk anymore. So, like, I struggle with...
He drugs them and gives them to Kevin Spacey.
Oh boy, Robin Wright, save us. Save us, unlike how you didn't save that TV show. Okay, so we've talked about this a little bit, but I feel like we've danced around it. Like, how do you deal with things you used to like,
oh,
but
yeah.
now it turns out the author, like, it's not the work that was problematic, it
yeah.
was the author himself.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and is that different than, like, a performance?
Yeah.
Like, is it? I don't know.
And even, well, I mean, I guess the similar thing can apply to, you know, if later you, like, so much shit later that, you know, I used to like 10, 20 years ago when I was growing up. Now you're like, oh, that's either homophobic or that's transphobic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are things that are progressive about it. Friends is a good example where yeah. Yeah. they had a lesbian relationship, which was really progressive for the time. Then again, there was a lot of homophobic stuff in there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it's really hard for me to, like, I don't know what to do about it or like, how I should feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I get it. I get it. And we have to focus, I think, on what's actually causing harm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is going to be a popular opinion. And I think it's perfectly acceptable to watch every single episode of House of Cards because Kevin Spacey's performance is mesmerizing and captivating and wonderful.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's a dirtbag doesn't change the fact that that art that he created is magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that sort of schema can be applied in most contexts. Like, J.K. Rowling, also a dirtbag, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter's great.
Yeah.
Reading it is fun.
Yeah.
It's made an important contribution to our culture.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to continue to read them. Now, that's a little problematic because she gets more direct royalties or money from people buying those books. But go ahead and steal it.
Like, well, that, I mean, that's one piece that, like, I do think you can do, which is what currently contributes to this person making money.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do I not let that person keep making money? So now buying Harry Potter books contributes to her money. So, yeah, can you, like... I was going to say adopt a book from someone else. That's not what it's called. But then again, I was even like, that was my, that's what happened to Orson Scott Card. Well, it went both ways. Hi, bisexuals. He was, asked to be a guest author for DC Comics, but, there was a petition which caused that to be on an indefinite hold.
Mm.
That's such a weird, stupid
just
phrase.
Just fucking,
like,
say you're fired, Jesus.
I know. It's so weird. At the same time, you referenced the Ender's Game movie, which came out in 2013. Geeks Out I didn't do that right. It's out, all capital and an exclamation point. Geeks Out. Mm-hmm. Had a boycott, but it didn't. I mean, the production studio distanced themselves from Orson Scott Card, but the movie still came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you can, you know, boycott all their future shit that they do so they don't keep making money and all that stuff. But then at the same time, it's like, if you loved Ender's Game growing up, you would love to see that thing turn into a movie and want to see that movie.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult to balance like your personal interests versus like the politics of, you know, the context of that, the people behind that.
Yeah.
And I think there are some like the very super left people that would say like, no, it doesn't matter. It's almost like the Chick-fil-A thing. No, it doesn't matter how much you like this chicken sandwich.
Yep.
Don't support it.
It's also like the Chick-fil-A thing in that it really, you don't have to know where.
Did I say it's like Chick-fil-A or chicken sandwich?
You said
like,
Chick-fil-A.
Okay, okay.
And then you said chicken sandwich.
Okay, okay.
I don't need to know where all of my money is going to know that it shouldn't go there. Because one of the things I worry about is, like, how many people out there are fucking crazy-ass bigoted homophobes, and I just don't know it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm enjoying their art when secretly, because they keep their mouth shut, they're a Nazi.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Cruise comes to mind. Like, Mel Gibson comes to mind. Yeah, it's a... I don't know. I don't need to know everybody's political philosophy to decide whether to watch or not watch their stuff. But if somebody is clearly a dirtbag, then now you have something to actually consider. Right?
Yeah, but yeah. So what? Yeah, what do you? I just
you wait for them to die.
Oh, so
and then it's
stop.
Okay.
You kill them. Yeah, I don't feel like I have a good answer, and I'm not on the extreme side of like you can't do that anymore because I mean we all are living in this world just trying to make it through our everyday lives like a Mary Tyler Moore in the city. But and like if you love a book, like read that book. What
I just my brain is in a weird place today. You said Mary Tyler Moore in the city of angels in the outfield, like I just kept stringing them together.
Outfield, I can't think of another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's an
Outfield of Dreams.
Oh, that's so good. Fuck you, Mike. That was so great.
Great.
Also, anything Mary Tyler Moore. Mom, what are you doing? Yeah. Oh, no. She just has the weirdest voice. She's a beloved hero and classic. Yeah, I don't have an answer. I still like the things I like. I still watch things that end up being homophobic. I do think you need to put things in context of DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act here in the U.S., which was Bill Clinton signed, which is very progressive for the time, ended up being really shitty for gay people because it said states could decide on LGBT rights.
Yeah, prevented a federal constitutional amendment. Let states do really terrible things, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Yeah.
I'm making a balance with my hands, kids.
Yes, yes. It came across in your voice. I could hear the balance in your the timbre of your voice. Yeah, so I don't really have an answer.
The Jeffrey timbre of my voice. Dan and I joked about earlier.
Speaking of other shitty people, Jeffrey timbre.
Yeah, right?
I think we're also, as a society, as a people, are really bad at leaving it at a dichotomy of there's good and bad. Like... We want there to be an answer, and there's good and bad in everything, and those exist at the same time and can be opposing forces and seemingly contradictory, but they're there.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
life is messy.
Life is messy, just like Ashley Simpson said.
So on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay, sure. Did you only do Star Trek segments?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's more to sci-fi than, well.
There absolutely is. There absolutely is. And I love Star Trek. I think it's great. I think it's iconic. I think that it has affected more people than arguably any other franchise besides Star Wars. And I think that it is a good lens through which a lot of sci-fi can be viewed or understood. And I'm lazy. And I know Star Trek really, really well.
Okay. Why is it a good lens to view other sci-fi?
Because they shamelessly borrowed from other franchises, other ideas, and incorporated them into the show.
So it's kind of the encyclopedia of sci-fi. I guess since every episode could be a different topic, they could like pull, like you said, like all these different ideas and put them into a series.
Yeah, and there were like, There were 7 seasons, and back then seasons were 20-some-odd episodes. There's a fuck ton of Next Generation.
Is that the one we tried to watch?
Yeah, I made you watch like 3 episodes, and then you fell asleep. You were very tired.
I watched them. It was more than 3. It felt like 20. It felt like I watched the whole season. But
this is important. Did you start with season 1 with him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah, we were going to try to push through it, but that didn't happen.
So season 4, episode 23, was called The Host, and it aired on May 11th of 1991.
Even in Star Trek, no one is the host.
God.
Oh, we my live God. In a future where everyone hosts.
There is totally a joke about Trill on Scruff. I just need to figure out the punchline too about hosting.
Okay. Oh, I thought you meant like get your slug inside my body and control me.
Yeah, exactly.
Although if you call your dick a slug, I might not be. Or do I love it? I don't know.
So Dan hates Dr.
What
Crusher.
Is dick,
what?
What is dick but a millipede made into a fleshy? Never mind. Crusher.
Yeah. What is dick but a millipede with no legs?
A flesh-colored, no-legged millipede?
The Host was a Dr. Crusher episode, and the Trill. And so the Trill, they're the like the worm in the people that take over their body thing. So one of them, it comes to the Enterprise, and he is an ambassador on this like really important mission. And so they take him to this other, these two alien species are fighting with each other, and he's got to like sort it out. And only he can do it, this ambassador guy. And he's Trill, and he and Beverly start like really hitting it off. Like
Beverly is the doctor.
Dr. Crusher.
Which I know that because I've seen it.
They're like macking on each other. Like totally, they like hook up, they bang, etc. But he's real sick. More importantly, his host body is sick. So.
She bangs a sick dude?
Well, I mean, I don't think she knew that he was sick.
Oh, okay.
It's also the first episode that the Trill appear in. So there's some things that have issues continuity wise. But so in order to make these talks go well, they take the worm out of the sick body, let the sick body die. So the body that Dr. Crusher was fucking dies. They put the worm into Commander Riker. And so the Trill takes over Commander Riker's body and then performs the talks. Can't stay in Commander Riker's body for very long because it will reject the Trill because humans are not Trill. But it works temporarily. So then there's this whole thing. I forget if they actually bang or not, but like Dr. Crusher is like, because the Trill guy in Riker's body is like, hey, let's make out more. And she's like, but this body is like a friend of mine. I don't know if that's okay.
So clearly she's not gay because she would be okay to fuck a friend.
Yeah. And then another Trill host body is like delivered to the Enterprise, and they transfer the Trill, Odon is their name, into this new host body, and it's a woman. So the body of this being has changed gender, and there's a scene at the very end where this woman, this female body, totally hits on Dr. Crusher in her office, and I wish I could find the exact quote, but Dr. Crusher turns her down. But what she doesn't say, I'm not into chicks. She doesn't say that grosses me out. She says, I can't handle all this body swapping stuff. Like, I can't handle all the changes. It's just, I can't get my head around that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she kisses her on the hand and goes away and leaves the ship. And
my lady.
It's episodic TV, so like it stops.
So the episode ends per episode.
Yeah. I mean, like, and then like it's never spoken of again.
Yeah, or whatever.
What is it?
The quote is from the super talented Dr. Beverly Crusher. Perhaps it is a human failing, but we are not accustomed to these kinds of changes. I can't keep up. How long will you have this host? What would the next one be? I can't live with that kind of uncertainty. Perhaps someday our ability to love won't be so limited.
Oh.
Yeah. And
what a powerful statement about, is love really indefinite? Nope. Unforgiving? Nope.
Indelible?
Nope. It's love unconditional.
Unconditional?
Okay.
So I think an argument could be made that Dr. Crusher is a demisexual.
Mm.
That she's in love with this personality, this person. And
tell us what a demisexual is, Mike.
No.
Well, it's someone that loves Demi Lovato. And aren't we all demisexual?
Someone that needs a personal relationship in order to feel sexual? I don't know, something like that.
We should probably actually look that up so that we
Fine.
Can tell people the real thing.
Yeah, okay. Demisexual. A demisexual is a person who does not experience sexual attraction unless they form a strong emotional connection with someone. It's more commonly seen in, but by no means confined to, romantic relationships.
Okay, this is why I've said before that you're a demisexual.
Yes.
And you have not really claimed that or taken ownership of that.
I have said that you don't pay attention to the word strong in the definition.
Oh,
strong,
you have like
emotional
a
connection. I just need a emotional connection.
Oh, so you're like a quasi demisexual?
Yeah, a hemi demi sexual.
I really enjoy that.
I will self-identify as a hemi demisexual.
Fuck you all. Here's the new label.
Yeah, that's go ahead.
This seems like another case where, again, I get that's progressive, tells stories about love and genderless and whatever. Also, there's an excuse for, even though it wasn't about her being a woman, there's an excuse for her not to be with her, which seems like there's a lot of excuses why whatever gay relationship or trans thing doesn't exist anymore or doesn't happen, doesn't come to fruition.
Yep. And plus, Dr. Crusher had to be single so she could fall in love with a ghost candle and all the other fucking weird romantic things that they did with that character.
That's true. Which is why it's important for them not to be, like, the LGBT characters not to be individual episodes, to be, like, you know,
cast members,
so that they can keep telling LGBT stories and they can do stuff that's not just LGBT, that's just human.
Yep, which they did in Star Trek Discovery. Watch it. It's amazing.
That's the newest one with Anthony Rapp?
Yes. Yes.
One thing I wanted to show you
is
searches on
Google. No, keep your pants
Google.
On. No, okay.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Just
this is a Google search for sci-fi.
Yeah, the channel.
Well, that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you see.
I see the Enterprise. The biggest picture of the pictures at the top of the little sidebar thing is the Enterprise. Anyway, you're leading somewhere that I'm not.
So, okay. I mean, that is the pictures that are on the right-hand side, which I'm glad you pointed that out because that's the visual part. There's also, you know, standard links to like Wikipedia, Rotten Tomatoes, things like that, science fiction books. When you search for gay sci-fi, you get a few of the links.
Yeah.
Best science fiction book.
Gay sci-fi. Oh, that's porn. Porn. That's lots of porn. At least it looks like porn.
It looks a lot like porn. The images that are
and then Archer in the bottom row.
No, that is a gay comic. That's like one of the few that's not like a shirtless dude on what looks like a romance novel. Or
I would bang Archer so hard.
Oh my god, he's a fictional character, I guess. But I really hate that. As soon as you put the word gay in front of sci-fi, it means shirtless jacked dudes. That's 50% of the images that appear. And I think that speaks to, one, expectations. Anything gay, anything with the word gay in front of it needs to have shirtless jacked dudes. This is why we have body image issues. And also shows us that there is not a huge amount of high quality gay sci-fi content
or gay cinema in general.
And it's frustrating. It's frustrating that I think these are sometimes why gay people get linked to only. It's frustrating that I think these are sometimes why gay people get linked to only like sex or only about, you know, whatever dirty shit. Like, I'm into dirty shit. It's cool, but.
So here's a question. Is that stereotype unearned?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is there's a lot to being gay, but straight people have made being gay only about the gay sex. Like, that's what they home in on. Mm-hmm. That's what they care about. That's what they have made illegal. That's them. So I think we do talk a lot about sex, but it's also in response to what straight people have done to us. They've made it illegal. So we had to do things like go to bathhouses, tap our feet under stalls. I don't know what else.
Yeah.
We
see you, Republicans.
Yeah. So, But yeah, there, I think another part of it is like, not gay specific, because you're gay, you get to be more sexually free. Yeah. And I wish straight people got to do that.
Yeah.
And
so do they, some of them.
Yeah. 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 I mean, some of them do it. Mm-hmm. Go do it, straight people. What do you think?
I mean, I think, I wonder if it's some sort of like societal internalized homophobia that apparently all gay people are capable of creating for ourselves is porn or shitty cinema. Mm-hmm. When we run that town, we run Hollywood. Like,
well, do we though?
Well, okay, except at the executive level, I suppose. But you should be able to gather, you should be able to scrape together enough gay people to do something useful, meaningful that, like, I don't know. Anyway, I
don't think we run that town. I think it is straight white people that run it. Yeah, especially at the like production executive level. That's our time, everybody.
Yeah, that's gay cinema flatlining. I think we haven't done much to undo that stereotype.
Yeah,
and maybe we haven't been allowed to. Or maybe there's not a critical mass there to make it successful enough that it can become a profitable enterprise with quality. All valid arguments. I just don't see. I don't know. But like some the East Siders comes to mind, mm-hmm. as a potential outlier there of like, it's good and it's well done and mm-hmm. it's super gay.
Yeah.
And like, we need more of that, or this idea that we're just into sex and that's the only thing that put gay in front of any kind of theater or cinema and it's going to be porn.
Yeah.
We need more of that to undo that.
Yeah.
And then also the East Siders, there's a lot of banging
yeah.
in it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, yeah, we do that to ourselves a little bit with, like, you know, I always think about the instigays and I just hate them so much. And like, what attracts people is naked dudes. And that's not unique to gay people. That's on magazines and naked women but that, I think, more so in the gay community, that's what attracts our attention. It attracts my attention. I'm not excluding myself. I'm not better than anyone. I like hot dudes, and I look at hot dudes, and I look at porn with jack dudes, and I, you know, stop and look at Twitter handles when I see a cute guy in a picture, and then I hate myself a little bit for it. But I am super supportive. Sex, great. Naked people, cool, like, do it. But if the only image you see out there is naked jack dudes that are white, like, it's
problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Last.
Yeah.
I will do the fast version of this. I know we're like hurting for time a little bit.
Ooh, okay. That was a good one.
Thank you.
And the super bowel is about to start.
Oh yeah. I don't care.
No.
I don't even know who's playing.
Me neither.
Kansas City Chiefs, maybe. Which, talk about cultural appropriation and issues of representation, and just fucking change it. Jesus Christ, white people, what's wrong with you? Okay. Yeah. Last. Okay, I just want to talk about this episode called The Offspring, which is the earliest of the episodes that I brought today of Star Trek The Next Generation. It was season 3, episode 16. It aired March 12th of 1990. So, Data.
Okay. Here we go.
Who's going to put...
Nope.
But
nope.
Yeah.
He's going to put his one in your zero?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. Moving on.
Binary all night long. Okay, so he goes to this conference, and when he comes back, he makes a child. He makes an android and...
Oh, like constructs.
Physically constructs another android that is his child. Ends up being a daughter who is named Lol. But
Lol.
Yeah. She, in learning more about her world and learning how to be human, she ends up on 10 Forward and talking. She works for...
What, on what?
10 Forward is like the lounge on the ship, like where people go for recreation. There's the holodeck and there's 10 Forward. And Whoopi Goldberg plays the character of Guinan, who is the bartender, and she's fucking amazing in every episode, and I love her. But she decides to let Lol work as a barback with her. And so she...
This weekend did some bar back.
Did you? Oh, God. Be sure to wear a cognac. And Lol asks about the human experience of love. The line that was written in the script was, Guinan turns to Lol and says, quote, when a man and a woman are in love, and then goes on and explains it. And Whoopi Goldberg refused to say that line.
Hmm.
She said, quote, this show is beyond that. It should be when two people are in love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting because, like, you can tell, you can trace it back to there are actually, like, present day humans writing this, not, you know, future Star Trekians writing it. And she's totally right. That wouldn't make sense in that world where they're so open, genderless.
Yep. And if you watch that episode, her version of the line is what made it to screen. She said, I'm not saying that, I'm saying it this way. And there was a big fight about it, but she won.
Hmm.
And so when two people are in love. I think it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg's amazing.
Yeah.
For her to have that level of testicular fortitude. What am I looking for?
Ovarian fortitude. Yeah,
for her to stand her ground in 1990,
yeah,
on an issue of sexual orientation, I think just shows, like, there are some celebrities out there who have been allies in doing the good work for their whole careers. It's not something that they just came to when Obama decided he liked gay marriage. Like, and she's one of them, and she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And she has an EGOT.
Yeah. Is that a daytime Emmy?
Whatever. But that's it. That's the Offspring. And I'm done talking about Star Trek on this episode.
So do I? I don't need to watch Star Trek because I've just basically seen them all orally.
Well, I mean, there's lots.
No, that's pretty much it. You covered it. Okay, cool. Sci-fi. Not as gay as it should be.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Go to 10 forward and take a break.
Okay.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back. You were ready.
I was ready about 10 minutes ago, but you and Dan had to just, yeah. We're going to do what?
So much sci-fi.
It was a lot. We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, at gayishpodcast /gayishpodcast, and join our Facebook group. facebook.com/groups/gayishpodcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
And our email is gmail@gayishpodcast.com.
Our mailing address, we got a letter.
I got
a presidential academic, no, not academic, a presidential fitness award patch,
yeah,
from,
yeah,
someone.
So we could see you posted that to somewhere.
Facebook.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, that's funny.
But our address is P.O. Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
Doing it. Who sent it? Should you thank that person? Thank you.
So a special thank you from two. A special thank you to Donald from St. Petersburg, Florida, for that weird ass patch.
Thanks, Donald. Gayest and straightest?
Let's do our gayest and straightest.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, great.
My gayest is not realizing we're recording this on the day of the Super Bowl.
That's my gayest.
Oh, yay!
We're sharing.
Same gay. Not knowing that it was starting until Tiffany, who was on the App Makeover episode, was like, are you watching it? That was like a week ago, and I was like, I didn't. When is it? And she's like, it's like a week. Don't know who's playing. I guess the Chiefs. And my straightest is I have a personal trainer, which I've been going to for a few months. And most people would like seeing all the dudes, but I feel uncomfortable. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So I do not like being at the Sweat Chovy. Oh my God. Is that the Polari word of the week?
It's the Polari word of the week.
That means Jim. The Sweat Chovy.
Oh, it's the whole thing. Sweat Chovy. Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yep, that's two different words. Sweat.
It's like an anchovy, chovy. But instead of an, it's sweat.
Yes.
Sweat Chovy.
Yes, because you're working out and sweating.
Okay. What's Chovy?
Oh.
Okay, great.
My Polari app, just that was the extent of its information.
The Sweat Chovy.
Sweat Chovy.
So take your eek to the Sweat Chovy and look at all the omies there.
Yeah. Do you want to do yours, or do you just want to sit quietly for a little bit? We could do either.
On this episode of Gay, Mike sits silently. Okay. So the gayest thing about me this week is exactly what you said, recording this gay-ass podcast during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Superb Owl, as Big Fanny says.
Mm-hmm.
And the straightest thing about me this week, so I was interviewing candidates for a performance engineer position at my work. And so what's the fast way to say this? When you're testing a system, you have to see how the system performs when it's under load and under stress. But this guy had no idea what he, like, I don't know. Anyway, he just kept talking about like how to put together the best loads for a system. You have to make sure that the load is big enough. Like, he just kept talking about loads and loads and loads and loads this and loads that. And I just, I had to keep a straight face.
You had to not giggle.
I was chuckling like a frat guy the whole time. And that's my straightest thing of the week, is just how funny loads are.
Yeah, wait, that's your straightest thing?
All my fraternity brothers said the word loads a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I don't think that they said many other phrases to refer to their own ejaculate.
Ejaculate. Ew, that's okay. Are we doing a listener's?
We have a listener one. Probably.
Hey, guys. This is Peter in San Diego, and I wanted to give you a gayest and straightest. My straightest thing this week was that I was off work and I decided to refinish my kitchen cabinets and they look pretty good. And my gayest thing is that tomorrow is the Super Bowl, but I had bought tickets to go see a musical instead. When I did so, I didn't realize that it was Super Bowl day, but then once I realized that that's what it was and I thought, oh, I'm going to a musical instead, I thought, yeah, that sounds about right.
It was a trifecta.
I know. So that's gays around the world realize it's the Super Bowl today.
I mean, I think
J-Lo and Shakira are performing. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, there's a football game happening at the J-Lo and Shakira concert. I think Pete wins, actually, though, because
we're recording
a podcast, but he's in a musical.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Now.
He's like doing the opposite, the gay opposite of a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's it.
That's it.
A special thank you to Gene Roddenberry.
Who the fuck is that?
I'm not going to explain it.
Okay. And thank you to Whoopi Goldberg for two people loving each other.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
Because we demand it.
What do they say when they do this thing?
Live long and prosper.
Yeah, live long and prosper.
Be sure to wear a cognac.